We're having the third conversation here in a series of three conversations about the renewal of Catholic education, the restoration of strong Catholic identity in the Catholic school system. And so far, we've spoken with Father Hugh, my confrere Father Hugh, about the history of Catholic education, especially in our country, and also what's kind of gone wrong in the more contemporary decades of that project, that very important project. With Father Damien in the second conversation, we spoke about the apostolic mission of Catholic education, how that builds community, it builds family, it builds culture, and also how it's such an important factor or feature of Norbertine canonical life, that it's one of the primary missions of the work that we do for the church here at St. Michael's Abbey is Catholic education. So this is all with a view toward an institute that we've opened, the Evermode Institute, which is the next step, the contemporary step in our community's real commitment to the restoration of Catholic education. So that's what we're here to talk about. And you're really important in that conversation because you've had many years of experience on the ground, in schools and in parishes, and you're a layman and you're a man who's worked your whole life for the church.
Right.
And so you have this perspective about what's necessary and where a religious community and our apostolic work can fit into that. And so that's what we're going to talk about today.
Right. And so I think one of the things that I can bring to this is that I've spent time in the classroom with middle school and high school age students, and I can see what other things are happening within the school that impacts their faith in a negative way. Mm. Children who have family problems, which is a huge, you know, setback because the family is the primary educator, and what things work that even reach students who might not be in the best circumstances at home. And also, I've made many promo videos for different Catholic schools and then spent weeks or week in the school filming and then seeing if what they're saying on camera matches up with what's actually being lived behind the scenes. So I do think I can provide some pretty good insights, and I've thought a lot about this.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, and you're coming into the conversation a little bit green because I didn't actually give you that much information about what we're doing in the Evermode Institute.
Right.
And I wanted to tell that to you today.
Yeah, no, please.
And also for the benefit of our viewers and listeners who might be interested to learn more about this project. So the Evermode Institute is a project that we Norbertines from St. Michael's Abbey initiated a few years ago at the invitation of Bishop Papraki in the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois. He's an excellent bishop, and he has a real heart for the renewal of Catholic education in his diocese. Mm-hmm. I think like many bishops, he looks around with a clear-sighted, wide-eyed reality, realistic view, and he says, look, Catholic education is in crisis right now.
Yes.
Many schools are closing, or they might just be so barely Catholic in their identity that is it worth even calling them a Catholic school anymore? Right. So what are we doing? And he invited us in to help him look at that and also to think about creative ways that we might help fix some of these problems that are endemic right now in the Catholic educational project. So the Evermode Institute is a program where we are laser focused on one particular part of the Catholic school problem or the renewal of Catholic education problem.
Yes.
And that is, it's become obvious to, I think, anybody who's serious about it that there has been a real failure in catechesis in the church for about two generations, maybe three now, where people expect to be able to send their children to the Catholic school where they will learn the Catholic faith and everything else they should learn, when in fact, those who are working in Catholic education, teachers, administrators, through no fault of their own, don't know the first thing about our holy religion.
Exactly.
So we are laser focused on imparting the faith, teaching the faith, forming people in the faith, those people who are responsible to teach the faith. And who are those people? Every teacher and administrator, everybody who works in the Catholic school system, K through 12, whether they are a janitor or an athletics coach or a biology teacher or a religion teacher, or the principal. So from top to bottom, as it were, everybody.
Yeah, and I will say that that's so important because one of the things I've noticed in most Catholic schools, at least where I've come from, is that maybe the principal of the school is Catholic, maybe the principal is Catholic, and the religion teacher is Catholic, and every other teacher in the school is either not practicing a different Christian denomination. And what that says to the young person is, this religion, this Catholicism, this is something that's just for you, but it's not right for everybody. And that sends the wrong message that, no, the Catholic Church was instituted by Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. This is the one true faith. And so everything in the school should reflect that truth, mm-hmm. or you're sending the child mixed messages. So it's absolutely critical, your program, that you're aiming at every employee who's working within the Catholic school system. It's right. So important, so important.
We see that in the same way that you just articulated it. We're also interested in the in this Evermode Institute of creating this program of formation to address those who work in catechesis in parishes, mm-hmm. whether that's called parish schools of religion or faith formation. It's called different things around the country.
Right.
Those who teach the faith at the parish level.
Right.
And also parents of families, because, mm-hmm. of course, the parents are the primary educators.
Of course. Yeah.
So we're serious about that. We're not interested in figuring out how to address the problem of hiring teachers
right.
who are Catholic, or the problem of where to source great principals or headmasters or headmistresses. We're not solving that problem.
Right.
Just this Catholic identity question in the formation of the people who are involved in teaching it to others. So beautiful thing about that is that we are priests and religious. This is what we do. We preach about this. We study this in our formation. We are the right men for the job, I think.
Absolutely. And there's a great spiritual principle that we've kind of already addressed without saying it. You cannot give what you do not have. Mm. And in the lives of the saints, they often teach, if you want to be on fire, you have to go to those who are on fire, and that heat will radiate.
Mm.
And so often catechists and parents, even when they're trying to live the faith, it's a very elementary understanding of the faith. And so what they're imparting is weak, and it's like they're warm. And so the kids aren't as warm as them. And so to have religious, especially religious, whose primary, your primary job is prayer and your own personal sanctification, and your ministry of education flows from this deep encounter with Christ. So it's like you are sitting at the feet of the Lord, you are at the fire, and people need to have a source that is orthodox, that is in a living relationship with Christ, because anybody can teach theology.
Mm-hmm.
There's great
right.
theologians out there who can teach religion, and because our religion is so systematic and beautiful, they can teach the ABC, the 1, 2, 3, the doctrine. But even in schools, because I was in various academic places, even in the best classical schools that I've seen and worked with, and the kids are learning the faith, they're sometimes lacking a living encounter with Christ,
mm.
who isn't a dead letter,
mm-hmm.
who is dynamic and who's active and who's working. And so by having religious, especially from your community, who are at the feet of the master, the living master, guiding your theology and making it real, I think it's absolutely the best circumstance for Catholic education.
Well, we pray that that's going to be the case.
Yeah,
I mean, we're seeing the fruits of it already, but I also think that the reason why that works is not because Norbertines are particularly, you know, set apart as somehow special. We're not.
Sure.
But the church has set up, our Lord Jesus Christ set up the church so that we have a hierarchical structure
right.
where the priests and the consecrated religious are meant to live the fullness of this personal relationship with Jesus Christ that you
right.
talked about. It's what we're committed to. It's why we're celibate. It's why
right.
everything about our life is this. And that can radiate out to those who don't have the blessing of being able to spend so much time in prayer every day.
Yes.
Or don't have the wherewithal to go through a whole academic formation program of philosophy and theology.
Right.
But if we can help give them what they need so that in the classroom they are well equipped, then that radiant light and warmth and wisdom will then – they can impart that to the children
right.
or the young people sitting in the desks or there who are learning from them. So
right.
it's like the force multiplier
yes.
principle of the gospel.
Yes.
Right? That we have to have – people who are able then to go out in the mission of evangelization mm-hmm. and create new disciples.
That's right.
And you can imagine that if this can work, we really can transform Catholic education.
Yes.
I think we can.
I believe it was Pope Paul VI who said that students will listen more to a witness than to a teacher.
That's right.
And so it's so important that the Catholic educators are evangelized, re-evangelized,
yes.
and witnessing to their students. And you guys are constantly examining your consciences and converting day in and day out and
trying
restarting,
to.
Yeah, daily.
Yep,
so it's a beautiful thing.
You know, what do you think, Gabe, about the there's a problem. There are many problems, and you know, life. We get settled into a routine right. of Catholic life. All of us do, whether we're priests or lay people or consecrated religious, mothers, fathers, where our religion becomes routine, our faith life becomes routine. And what do you think? You've seen a lot of schools. You've been involved in this world a lot. What do you think makes the difference for someone who, rather than seeing, you know, ongoing formation in Catholic education like we're providing, yes. you know, it's another in-service they have to attend or another program right. to watch online. How can we make that something that actually unites them with the life of Jesus Christ and helps them to come on fire, come alive with the love of God?
So I think it's a twofold thing, and I'm getting this. One of your fraters was one of my former students, and before he entered the Abbey, I asked him, what did I do that helped you the most? Like, mm-hmm. what is the lasting lesson? And he said those two things. One, we absolutely knew that you loved us, that mm. you were making sacrifices on a personal level for our good. Mm. Like, so there was no doubt in my mind, in any of my friends' minds, that you loved us. And two, you presented the Catholic faith like it was 100% true and every aspect of it was true. Mm. And so I think that there's two things that have to happen, that all of the questions that might enter the mind of a young person or a catechist, providing those answers. So providing a strong mm. theological foundation, not necessarily of apologetics or even approaching it that way, but that this is the answer and everything makes sense in this worldview. So that's critically important. But then at the same time, a challenge to follow Christ has to be present all along the way. So I go to youth conferences, and sometimes I'm very critical of the youth conference because they do not provide substance. They provide emotionalism. They're mm. manipulating the kids' minds with music. Mm. But one thing that they do well is they present the kerygma and call them to a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, which sounds cliche, but is absolutely fundamental that these young people, when they're formed in the mind, they're also pulled and tugged on their hearts to say yes on a daily basis, mm. To come follow me, which is beautiful if it comes from somebody who you can look at the way they dress, you can look at their collar, you can look at a religious sister's habit. It's just a visible sign of mm. the answer to come follow me.
And yes.
So I think those two things are critical, the challenging academic mind and really addressing every inconsistency. So in my experience, I was in a circumstance in one of my educational career paths where there was liturgical abuses happening, you know, young people being called to the altar, holding hands around the altar, doing all these things. And then the kids saying, if you're saying that this is the holy sacrifice of the Mass and that we're present on Calvary, isn't it inappropriate for us to do that? And then saying, yes, it's not right.
That's inappropriate. That's
it's
right.
It's inappropriate. And there's like an acknowledgement of things that aren't the way they should be. Like acknowledging not everybody in the school is Catholic.
Right.
But they should be.
Right.
And so acknowledging all of these inconsistencies so that they can know you can trust this.
Right.
You can sell everything and follow this pearl of great price. And you as a Catholic student have been given the greatest gift. The longing to the human heart is in your hands.
Yes.
And God has chosen you in this time to become a saint. And so the challenge with the academic rigor, which I know you guys are providing.
Yeah, we're trying to do that. Yeah, that's right. While you were telling, you know, those stories, and it occurred to me, Gabe, that, you know, every Catholic, including those who are going to be watching and listening to this conversation, yes. who might not be involved directly in Catholic education, or maybe right. they were years ago, or maybe their children or their grandchildren are. So, you know, you think, well, what about in your own life? Do you go to Mass on Sunday just because it's an obligation yes. and it's out of routine?
Yes.
Or are you there because you love Jesus so much and his holy church and the sacraments of the church that you couldn't imagine not going to Mass on Sunday where you receive real contact with the humanity of Christ in the holy sacrifice yes. of the Mass and in the blessed sacrament of the altar? You know what I mean? That
yes.
that this challenge of you said the kerygma, that is the nugget of the kernel of the gospel, yeah. which is supposed to transform our life
yeah.
so that we want to become a saint.
Right.
And if I'm not living that, if someone who's listening or watching is not living that, then they're never going to convince somebody else that that's worth it.
Right.
Right?
And I think of the life of that you mentioned it, going to Mass, for example, Blessed Carlo Acutis, mm-hmm. He went So people say, well, what did he do? Well, then you try to think of the concrete things that he did. Well, he went to daily mass. Well, he prayed the rosary every day. He tried to discern God's will. And there's Catholic school students all over the country who might be going to daily mass. Mm-hmm. But what the difference in the example of Carlo Acutis is that he wanted to go to mass. Mm-hmm. He tried to go to mass. He longed to go to mass. And he opened his heart in such a way that God could transform him. And Holy Mother Church says this is a person whose life you can follow. He went to Catholic school, but not all the kids in his class were canonized saints.
That's right.
Even though they may have also gone to daily mass.
Right, right. They had that. They received the same education he did.
But it was that personal commitment to Christ that was all the difference.
So it's funny because, you know, we're putting together this Evermud Institute curriculum, most of which is online. There's some in-person components too for our pilot dioceses around the country where we're able to do that. But if it's just something that someone watches online, it's just another class. And so I think that your point there, it has to come from a place of real conviction on the part of us Norbertines who are teaching and who are producing all the many collaborators who are working on this project together, so that that can hopefully trickle down to every single teacher, every single catechist, every administrator, and every parent of every Catholic family. We really can transform the world, I think.
Yes, and I looked at your curriculum, and it seemed to me that everything necessary to become a great saint, you're teaching. So people often hear, oh, we're called, all called to a life of sanctity, but they don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. And so teachings on liturgy, teaching on the theology of the sacraments, how to receive as much grace as possible, teaching on morality and what is a venial sin, mortal sin, how to stay in the state of grace and deep prayer, all of these things are the foundation for being transformed into Christ. And so when I say you becoming a saint, again, it's not like I'm going to do these steps to meet this criteria. It's a saint is somebody who is surrendered their life completely over to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And in the words of St. Paul, it is no longer I who live.
Yeah.
It's he who lives through me. I fail sometimes and I go to confession.
That's right.
So it's a beautiful, beautiful curriculum. And I will say just from watching some of the sample videos, they're filmed beautifully, which goes to the, you know, what you guys do very well here, which is truth, goodness, and beauty. There is no reason why everybody can't benefit from these videos, not just catechists and educators.
Well, we're definitely going to make that opportunity available. So in the program where, as I said, we've crafted it, we're creating it specifically for a pilot diocese in the Midwest, but then also expanding that to other pilot dioceses, partner dioceses. Mm-hmm. So the way to get access to the entire curriculum is through these diocesan relationships and also with some independent schools around the country and so forth. But for all of our friends out there, friends and listeners, since we realize that this is instruction and formation in a strong Catholic identity that all of us need, we want to make that available even outside of these confined areas of the Catholic educational system. And so people who are members of the Abbot Circle, that's our monthly base of donors who support the mission and the ministry and the apostolic work of our community, we're giving them special access to
And if I can make one more selling point for you. So there's a lot of voices on the internet.
Yes.
I am also also guilty of this. Like, I carry no weight whatsoever. I am just some random guy on the internet who chooses to put upload and post. Anybody can do that. And so there's a lot of fragmentation online and within Catholic circles that, you know, it's kind of like the saying, like, I'm a follower of this, I'm a follower of that.
I'm a follower of Paul, I'm a follower of Peter, I'm a follower of Sid.
Exactly. And by having at least the backing of your religious community and your good standing within the diocese and within the church, it is a stamp of you can trust us. We do not have a personal agenda. We're not, like, we have degrees and I'm just not some random voice on the internet, which is very important.
I do have an agenda. You know what my agenda is?
Yes,
The salvation of souls. Mine to become a saint, but also to bring as many people with me and with us to heaven as we possibly can, the salvation of souls, thirsting for souls.
That's right.
So, Gabe, I would love to hear a few stories about, from your vast experience in a lot of different schools, a lot of different environments, parishes, what have you seen out there that works?
We don't have to reinvent the wheel. So pure teaching of Catholicism works. My greatest successes happened when I was teaching middle school, and we went to the Adoration Chapel 10 minutes a day, and every day. And the kids would say, well, isn't this wasting educational time? And, no, we would make sure we were well-educated, but there's something that Jesus can teach that I can't teach. He opens the soul. He moves the human heart. Teaching children not just how to pray the rosary, but offering opportunities within the day to pray the rosary as a class during recess or in these various opportunities where they take in the tried and true practices, habits of the saints, and saying, you want to succeed, God, and this is another important thing, emphasizing in each individual that God has a very specific plan in their life, and that everything that they do is a longing for happiness, and that longing of the human soul can only be satisfied when you're pursuing God's will, because He has created your heart for that. So giving them the tools to teach them and say, if you just live this truth, you treat the Eucharist like He's really Jesus, that's the secret to sanctity. Treat that Eucharist like He's the living God, and you will see Him as the living God in your life. Pray the rosary every day. Allow the Virgin Mary to be your mother. And I have seen young people literally performing miracles, documented medical miracles in the classrooms. I have seen this same model, and I'm doing a documentary currently on a school in New Mexico in the poorest diocese, in the poorest school of the poorest diocese in the United States, with all sorts of social economic problems, and religious sisters, kind of parallel to you guys doing this Evermode Institute, taking over the educational system. And young people so on fire for Catholicism.
That's beautiful.
And young kids like pouring their hearts out before the Blessed Sacrament on a daily basis, acknowledging my family life isn't good. I might not be wealthy, but I have the living God in front of me. I have the pearl of great price. So I've always seen that work. And in circumstances, because I'm a high school youth minister also, in circumstances where young people are in public school, they have no religious education whatsoever, some of their family lives are absolutely disasters, them taking on the same tried and true methods of confession frequently, Mass as often as possible, frequent visits to the Blessed Sacrament, devotion to Our Lady, it looks like things are very far off, but with one confession and one commitment to Christ, everything can turn around and change.
Yes.
And when Our Lady's with you, there's no sin, there's no evil that cannot be overcome. So it's an evangelization and an education that has to take place. But when both of those come together, watch out. Nobody stands a chance because the young people are hungering.
Because it's the only answer to their problems, right? I mean, the world is, as you said, especially like in – it doesn't have to just be because of economic poverty and a poor school and a poor diocese.
Yeah.
But how many even wealthy schools
– Yes.
Where – you know, how many of those families are broken families, you know, one-parent families, or maybe the parents haven't been to Mass in years, or maybe they go at Christmas and Easter and they're sending their kids to the Catholic school. And so – or maybe they're so materialistic and so rich that all they think about – has to do with this world.
That's right.
You know, I mean, there's our culture is really putting a lot of obstacles to the project of salvation, right?
Yes.
So tell me about a school where you've seen, doesn't have to be a school that you've actually worked in, where it's worked. And tell me first about a school where it's not working and maybe why you think it's not working.
Right.
And a school where it's working really well.
Well, I've seen, I'll tell you, I'll give you maybe one more scenario.
Okay.
So I've been, because I've done a lot of video productions, I've been in schools where it's very academic, very classical, very rigorous, but there's no personal commitment to Christ. And so I've noticed that when these young people are given the freedom to be bad, they choose to be bad because they, although their families have done a good job of sheltering them from evil, they personally have not been given the opportunity to make a commitment for Christ.
Okay.
And so like that's the temptation. I'm teaching them all of the stuff, but their hearts are not
cold or
their
lukewarm.
Hearts are cold, or they just haven't given their life to Christ. Like prayer is a formality, and if we weren't forced to pray in school, they would never pray. So that's a failure as well. And you can be, you know, all mind and no heart.
Yes.
One of the most beautiful things I've seen, as I mentioned, is where it's from this school in Gallup, New Mexico, where the religious sisters have Mass daily. Of course, daily Mass is ideal because it says to the kid, Mass is important. If we have basketball practice after school every day, if we have Mass once a week or once a month.
Or once a semester.
What does that say about the Mass? Is this really God? It can't be, because if not, we would be there more often. The sisters are teaching them to pray the rosary. They're praying the rosary as a class. They're making daily visits to the Blessed Sacrament. And This is where it kind of caught me off guard, because they're teaching a classical method of education, mm-hmm. which is, in my opinion, one of the best methods of education because it focuses on the whole person. But on Fridays, they go into the church and one of the sisters brings a guitar, and they will, the kids will sing praise and worship to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And I know in some circles that might be cringy, mm-hmm. But for me, it brought me to tears to hear the kids singing, I love you, Lord. Mm-hmm. I need you, Lord. Mm-hmm. But it brought me to tears because I know they meant it. Mm-hmm. And it was just beautiful treating Jesus in the Eucharist like he's really God. Mm-hmm. And in a way that, you know, sisters, they see the Eucharist in Jesus as their spouse. Mm-hmm. And so with you can trust him so much. I've given my entire life to him.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
So those are circumstances where I've seen it work really well. Circumstances where I've seen it not work, I think we've all encountered a person who's away from the Catholic faith, and you try to share with them the faith and they will respond, you don't need to tell me, I've been in Catholic school my entire life.
Right.
And that burns. Yeah. It hurts.
Right. That's someone who should know Jesus,
yeah.
but they only know about Jesus.
Yeah.
Or they think they know about Jesus.
Yeah. And that hurts.
Yeah, that really hurts. Yeah.
My Cardinal Daniel DiNardo is a great man. He gave a talk to Catholic educators and he said, Catholic education is the number one place for evangelization, but it's also the number one place to destroy a child's faith. either through a lack of catechesis, and so there's no fullness and everything is faith. So I do believe you have to have faith, but the Catholic faith is so systematic, so like it's almost like you don't need that much faith because it makes so much sense.
Perfect sense. Yeah.
It makes perfect sense. It all fits together perfectly. So you can ruin a child by making it be like this blind belief. That's right. Just what we believe.
That's right. You don't have to know anything about that. Just trust us. Yeah. Just believe it.
Yeah. Or I've, you know, you've seen situations where people will whitewash the miracles of Christ. And this is the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. That's just a lesson on sharing.
Yeah. Right. Stupid.
Yeah, just give us the truth, the full truth, and the truth will set us free.
Absolutely. That's great. Thank you, Gabe. Nice to hear some testimony from you know, out there in the trenches, because it helps to encourage my confreres and me and those who are working on this project to keep going. You know, it's discouraging sometimes. It seems sometimes like an insurmountable problem that is this failure in catechesis in the postmodern world.
I love it.
So all we can do is the little bit that we can do.
Yeah.
And hopefully this institute is a step in the right direction.
It is. And I want to encourage you, keep going, because you guys are lighting a fire in so many people's lives, in so many young people's lives. I show some of the videos you guys have made to my high school youth, videos that we've made together. I show them to my high school youth.
Great.
And they love it. So please keep going.
Yeah, we'll keep going. We'll keep going as long as God gives us the strength to do it. So a couple final points about that.
Yes.
We did this, and you reminded me in talking about lighting that fire and, you know, being a kind of force for transformation of the world and culture. We named this institute the Evermode Institute because there's a saint in our order, Saint Evermode, who was a very close companion of Saint Norbert, our founder, in the 12th century. And he became the bishop of Ratzeburg in Germany, which was like right on the edge of the empire where there were still pagans. Mm-hmm. And he was sent there with Norbertine confreres to evangelize this pagan tribe called the Wends, okay. to light a fire of the gospel in a place where that fire had never burned before. We thought, well, this project in the postmodern world, a post-Christian world, is similar. We have a kind of neo-paganism of life in the Western world that we need to set on fire for Jesus Christ and salvation and our Blessed Mother and the Holy Church of God and all of these things. So it's the right name for this.
And yes, it is.
So his patronage is important for us. And then finally, as I alluded to earlier, we don't want this just to be a closed shop for a specific demographic of people, but we want to share this with as many people as who will benefit from this work that we're doing. And so those who are supporting our monastery through their generosity as monthly donors in the Abbot Circle will share the content of this program with them too. So so we're teeing all of that up. We're getting all of those kind of ducks in a row.
Can I make a pitch for the Abbot Circle?
Of course.
Okay. So a lot of people reach out to me and they say, well, how can I help reach this person? How can I help reach that person? And they say, I'm praying already. And I say, well, you got to suffer. You got to sacrifice. How are you suffering? What sacrifices are you offering? And we all have to remember that Christ saved our soul through sacrifice.
Yeah, died on the cross.
And so too, if we're going to win over the culture, somebody's got to die. Somebody's got to make a personal sacrifice. And I think a lot of times we shy away from sacrificing financially because we want to feel like we have some control in our life. And I just want to encourage everyone to make a financial sacrifice for the sake of the gospel, beyond just what you're giving to your parish, but in places where souls are being reached and you're going out into the front lines in the digital continent and evangelizing the world in that way. I just think that the Abbott Circle is a great way to make a contribution.
Thank you, Gabe. That's kind of you. I don't have to pay you to say that.
No, from the depths of my soul, I mean it. Yeah.
That's great.
I give to the Abbott Circle. I don't give to a lot of things, but I give to the Abbott Circle.
I really appreciate that. Thank you, Gabe. Well, and I didn't know that you were going to say that, so I'm glad you did.
Thank
so,
you. Well, it's true.
And I'll pay you later.
Okay,
I'm kidding.
Thank you.
Sorry. Gabe, thank you for all you do for the church, too.
And
thank you for coming and visiting us here, and thank you for the collaboration. And I look forward to our next conversation whenever Our Lady gives us that happy opportunity.
That's right.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.